Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And before we get started today, I want to tell you about two things where you could connect with me in other places. And one of them is on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/SpencerEducation, you can find my Facebook page where I share resources and ideas and things like that. And then also, I have a YouTube channel. And so if you would consider subscribing to that YouTube channel, it's SpencerVideos.com. That's SpencerVideos.com. You should check it out because I have a lot of these sketch videos, and I have, I'm doing more, I guess, regular videos. I'm going to do some video series on project-based learning and design thinking and things like that. And those will all be videos that are not on this podcast. They're actually not going to be on my blog either, kind of exclusive content to YouTube. So if you are interested in all, just subscribe to that, and you can find those videos at SpencerVideos.com. So here are 10 old school tech skills your students never had to deal with. And I want to back up by telling you a little bit about my childhood. So I was born in the Ice Age, you know, when Ice Cube and Iced Tea and Vanilla Ice were all the rage. And if you had told me that as a child that Iced Tea would someday play a cop on television, I would have told you that you were crazy. But things have changed. And as a kid, my biggest technology concern was making it through the Oregon Trail without getting dysentery. And trust me, I always got dysentery. But like I said, times have changed. If you look at your phone, there's an entire office of physical stuff we used to have that's now on our devices. A compass, a calculator, maps, video cameras, mail, you name it. A few years ago, my son, quote, discovered Crossy Road, and I realized that it was the same game as Frogger, which we used to have to play on a large box-like system. I was thinking about the fact that we don't have to pull out the maps anymore when we go on a road trip. Things have changed. And this has me thinking of the old school technology skills I learned as a child that are now obsolete. So with that in mind, I made this goofy video on my YouTube channel, and then I'm also going to share these ideas here. So here are the 10 old school tech skills your students never had to deal with. Number one, sitting in front of a boombox. Yeah, that's right. That's what we called it. With your finger on the record button, just waiting for your favorite song to come up so that you could make that epic mixtape. And now you just say, hey, Alexa, play my favorite song, and it works. Number two, getting the purple Ditto ink off your hands when you had to fill out a worksheet. You could always see which teachers had the most packets based on how purple the students' hands were. Number three, navigating that dark magic of microfiche and microfilm in order to look up an old article. I remember those inverted color-reversed photos that looked super creepy and weird and cool at the same time. Yeah, kids don't ever have to deal with that anymore. We just look up articles on our phones. Number four, unjamming a slide projector. Trust me, I became an expert at unjamming projectors when I was a kid, and I did a slide presentation in eighth grade. Number five, trying not to get clotheslined by that 90-foot-long phone cord in the kitchen as my mom would walk around chatting to the neighbor that she could just, you know, walk next door to. And I would maneuver around it like it was the Matrix. And I had to do this every time I just wanted to go into the kitchen for a drink of water. Number six, saving something to a disk and then hours later just praying to God that it hadn't been erased because you realized suddenly that you were sitting really close to a magnet at one point during the day. Number seven, listening to that ultra-slow version of Elderly Woman behind the counter in a small town because your Walkman batteries were almost dead and you are going to milk that battery for every last bit of juice. Number eight, being on a road trip and holding your Discman as absolutely still as you could so that it wouldn't skip and scratch up your disc. Number 9, fixing a broken cassette with the top of a pencil. Yeah, kids have no idea the struggle we used to go through with that. Number 10, picking up the phone and listening to make sure that no one else was talking on it before getting online, only to wait 5 painfully long minutes for the dial-up before you could go online. Yeah, again, now we just have smartphones. But there's more. There's tons of this. Your students will never know how to blow on a video game cartridge to see if that magically makes it work, even though it's been scientifically proven to not work. They'll never have to wait by a mailbox for a letter to arrive. They'll never have to time their long-distance phone calls with a loved one because money is tight and a phone call to Alaska just isn't cheap. They'll never know what it's like to work on an essay at the last minute, only to have to change the ribbon on a typewriter or wait for minutes while the whiteout dries. They'll never have to wait for days or hours at the least for a camera film to develop. There's a good chance they've never had to use a map, a real map, the kind that you have to hold with your hands instead of a phone. I mean, there's so many examples of this. And I bring this up because the point is that technology changes all the time. Our world is constantly changing. And according to Moore's Law, the processing power doubles every 18 months. And if that's true of a microchip, the true thing is that there's a really similar trend with all other areas of technology. We are in the early stages of artificial intelligence, 3D prototyping, virtual reality. The technology skills you need right now might not necessarily... Nobody cares that I know how to maneuver a Laserdisc machine because we haven't had to use those in years. And I mention all of this because I often see people getting hung up on certain technology skills. Kids need to be coders. I'm not entirely sure that's true. Don't get me wrong, I'm a huge fan of kids learning how to code. I used to teach my middle schoolers coding, but it wasn't about the technology skills. It was about the logic and the strategy, the systems thinking and the creativity. I think a lot of those things can be learned playing chess, and I think both chess and coding are worthy endeavors for kids to engage in. I don't think it's important that students, quote, learn how to blog, but I love blogging for the way it allows students to express their voice and share their work with an authentic audience. There's a really cool book about this called Timeless Learning. It just came out a couple weeks ago. And two of the authors, Iris Sokol and Pam Moran, are some of the deepest thinkers in education. And I love their point that it's really about the human aspect. It's about imagination and observation, open spaces and choice. And instead of obsessing over the gadgetry, they remind us that the future of learning involves the things that have always mattered. And I would say that it goes beyond that. It's not just timeless. I would argue that often it's about vintage. It's about recovering what we lost when we shifted toward the machinery. If you think about it, it really comes down to how we define relevance. Being relevant can mean learning the newest and greatest technology and maneuvering that well. And that's okay. But those things become obsolete. And I would argue that often what makes you more relevant is to do the things really well that the machines can't do. Do the things that VR and AR and AI can't figure out how to do. Here's what I mean. In a world of constant change, kids need to be divergent thinkers. In a world of artificial intelligence, it's all about helping them to think wisely and learn philosophy. In a digital world, they need to know how to maneuver analog tools in unusual ways. In a connected world, kids will need to be empathetic and bring in the human aspect of design. In a world of instant information, they will need to slow down and become intelligent curators of multiple seemingly unrelated sources. In a globalized world, they will need to know how to embrace the local. In a virtual reality world, they will need to study nature and be inspired by things like biomimicry. In a distracted world, kids will need to engage in deep work. In an automated world, they will know how to engage in physical prototyping and do things that machines are not doing. In a world of infinite possibilities, they will need to remain curious, filled with wonder. Again, they will need to have that deep sense of imagination. Now, don't get me wrong, this is not an either-or idea. We want students to learn how to code and use modeling software and 3D printers, but again, we also want them to go out into nature and be inspired by the design that exists all around them. Technology skills will continue to change. On the other hand, there are all these things that are timeless: creativity, collaboration, critical thinking, divergent thinking, all of that, flexibility. And they are the very things that computers don't do well. They're also the skills that teachers instill in their students when they design epic projects and cultivate a creative classroom climate. The technology skills will change over time. The things that your kids are learning how to do right now, they probably won't need to know how to do in 20 years, and that's okay. But the one thing that will never change is the impact you have on your students' lives when you empower them to be creative thinkers. One of the most important elements in terms of creativity is you as the teacher. Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. Just a quick request, if you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? That would mean the world to me. And again, go check out spencervideos.com as well. I'll be doing a lot more videos on there. So thank you again for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.